Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everybody. This is Georg Kapsch. I'm accompanied by Ulrike Klemperdtinger, who is in charge of finance, and Hans Lang, who is in charge of investor relations. I would like to give you a brief overview on the fiscal year 2016-2017, and as far as highlights are concerned, and my colleague, Ulrike, will then continue with the financials.
Thank you.
Welcome again. I think we were able to again present solid results like in the previous year. I think we managed that in spite of having huge integration costs by integrating one of the acquired targets during the last fiscal year. I think this was the biggest highlight, that we acquired Schneider Transportation by the beginning of the last fiscal year. This is an enterprise of about 113 million euros in revenues. We still have loss, a tiny loss of 2.5 million euros, but we have to consider that this was a restructuring case, and we did a pretty good job in integrating this company over a 12-month period. Starting from the 1st of April this year, we are fully integrated, and we will not report this separately in the future. What is the background of this acquisition? We acquired this company in accordance with our strategy, and I just briefly repeat our strategy. Our strategy is about securing our core business, which means securing our toll collection business and our traffic management business, to grow this core business in regions where we are not that strong yet, and in regions where is some more potential, where we are already strong, but where we can find lots of additional potential. The third part of our strategy is intelligent mobility solutions. The acquisition of Schneider Transportation supported this strategy heavily because it supports our strategy in growing our core business and at the same time giving us better access to the IMS market. How? The acquisition helped us to strengthen our position in electronic toll collection in North America, so that we are meanwhile one of the three main suppliers of tolling systems in North America. This is very important because North America is the biggest tolling market in the world and is one of our huge growth potentials. Secondly, the acquisition supported our IMS strategy because it gave us access to city to products that help us to enter city environments, and it gave us access to approximately 30 cities around the world, because that's what we were lacking till up to now. It really supports our strategy. The revenue contribution last year was about 113 million, and as I already pointed out, there was still a tiny loss of 2.5 million euros. In the end, we had to cover integration costs, and without integration costs, we would have been slightly positive. We also acquired other targets in accordance with our strategy. The first one was toll tickets in Germany, which supports us in electronic in the EETS business in Europe, which means interoperability and payment of tolls all around the world. We think that there will be three EETS providers, three strong EETS providers in Europe. One will be from Germany, the other one will be from Italy, and the third one should be us, in cooperation with a French partner, which we announced a couple of months ago. The third acquisition was FluidTime, which is a tiny little, well, it's a 10 years old company, but it's still a kind of a startup, which is very much engaged in multimodal traffic applications, especially in public transport, which again supports our approaches to the city environments. There was another acquisition. We acquired 48% in a company where we already own 52%, which is our Czech toll operation company. This resulted in a higher contribution to the shareholders. We secured important toll contracts. One of the important toll contracts was, of course, the Austrian one. We were able to extend the Czech contract to up to three more years. Meanwhile, we are very much confident that it will be 3 years, and we were able to sort out the problems in our project in South Africa by getting the system certified and agreeing upon a duration of the contract for both the technical and the commercial operations till 2019, with the option of a 2 years extension. We issued a promissory note, which is a kind of bond to refinance the corporate bond, which is due in November this year. It was approximately 62 million euros and $14.5 million in 5, 7, and 10 years. The 10 years portion is the smallest one. It helps us to refinance the corporate bond, and it, of course, after having paid back the corporate bond, reduces our financial results by approximately 2.5 million a year. Furthermore, we made use of the low interest rates which are currently available on the market. Of course, it resulted in a bigger amount of assets on the one hand side and debts on the other side. Proportionally, the equity ratio was reduced, but anyway, after having paid back the bond in November, the equity ratio will come back again. We also announced a new dividend policy, which says that we will try to keep a base level of about at least 1 euro per share, as long as the results and the investment necessities of the company allow it. Anyway, this number could also be increased if we are financially strong, if we are performing well, and if we do not have to invest too much in the forthcoming periods. The average over a 3 years period should be at least 1 euro per year. Anyway, we will propose to the General Assembly in
September.
A dividend of 1.5 euros per share, which is okay compared to a more than 3 euros earnings per share. Now I would like to hand over to Ulrike in order to present the financials. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. I would like to that you go through this on the presentation on slide 11, where we start the financial results. Here you see when you look at the revenues, we increased by 23% in comparison to the previous year, our revenues up to 648.5 million. We had also an increase in EBITDA by 1% up to 77.8. The EBITDA margin declined a little bit down to 12%. We have also a slightly lesser EBIT in this year, 60.1 million, decreased by 4%, and also the EBIT margin in this year declined a little bit from 11.9% to 9.3%. We had a very positive development. Profit before tax, we are 60.6, increased by 11%, and the profit for the period increased from 36.5 million up to 42.7 million. That means for the profit for the period attributable to the equity holders are currently 43.6 million. That's important, and an important result of the acquisition we took. We acquired the minority shares and could improve our earnings per share by 1 euro. We have in this fiscal year an earnings per share of 3.40 euro in comparison to 2.40 euro in the last fiscal year. When you switch to the next slide, then you see a short glance on our earnings, the EBIT, how developed the EBIT. Here you see that the operating income of 25.1 million includes a badwill of 3 million, which comes from the transaction of the transportation business of Schneider Electric. Included also in this position are FX gains of 8.1 million, which has a quite significant impact. Important to mention also on this slide is the increase of our staff costs. Here we increased our staff cost from 153.2 million up to 224.2 million. Important to mention that it's basically based on new people, new employees out of the KTT transaction. 900 employees joined the Kapsch family. At the end of this fiscal year, we have now 4,823 people working for Kapsch. The other operating expenses, also here you see an increase from 99.6 up to 134.4, are mainly sourced and rooted by our new acquisition of the transportation business of Schneider. 22.4 million, you can say, are allocated out of this. The other are more out of the generic growth, which was necessary to spend some more. The major part of the other operating expenses worth to mention is 31.7 million is legal and consulting. We had also an increase in the rental expenses, travel expenses, and of course, exchange rate is in our environment due to our global presence and leadership and quite a significant position. On the next slide, you get some insight on the financial result, taxes, non-controlling interest. Here I would like to mention the setup of the finance income, finance cost. Here you have a nice split between interest income, 2.6 million, FX gains, 8.7, and others, 2.2 million. We have due to a much better position in our FX strategy, an FX loss only for 4.3 million. We have included in our financial result the impairment of our Q3 share, which are shown in our balance sheet as an available for sale position, which has quite a significant impact also on our financial result and interest expenses by 5.7. Slightly higher in comparison to the last year due to the fact that we have now the corporate bond and on top, the Schuldschein, the promissory note we have issued in May this year. The result for the period, 42.7, I think it's really a significant increase and a very nice development in comparison to the previous year, has brought us, due to the acquisition of the remaining stake of our Czech company, to a much higher result attributable to equity holders of our firm. We can show here really the earnings per share for us, 3.4. On slide 14, you get some information about our other key financial data like net investment, free cash flow, net credit in this case, and balance sheet total and equity ratio. Net investment increased from 7.2-12.3, also mainly resulted in the acquisition of and integration of our KCT business. Free cash flow declined from 19.7 down to 42.6. Also very close in connection to the acquisition we did and the repurchase of our stake. We had to increase our net working capital. The business of KCT needs here some support and had some higher investments there. The net credit, we are still, we have no net debt, so we are positive 19.6, which is very favorable for us. The outcome of the additional promissory note is that we have an increase of our balance sheet assets and therefore a reduction of our equity ratios. The equity ratio dropped down from 45%-35%. When we will repay our corporate bond in November 2017, you will see that this equity ratio will come back at a similar level as it was before. On page 15, I think you should get more information about how the results are shown in based on our segments. The segments are splitted in ETC and IMS business. The ETC business, you'll see that is the strongest part, still our very strong part in our organization. Here we increased in comparison to the last year, our top line, the revenues by 6% and have revenues from 468.4 and an EBIT of 65.5. Here a stable EBIT margin at then the very favorable margin still at 14%. When you look at the geographical split, the principal and the major part of our ETC business is to two-thirds in the region EMEA, very strong in the Europe Eastern part and in South Africa. The second stake, 26%, is already Americas. Here we have the major portion is in North America. A smaller one is allocated to Latin America and 8% in APAC, mainly Australia, where we are a very strong player in the Australian market. On additional information which we would like to share with you is how this electronic toll collection split is done and seen in our projects view, like design and build operations and components. Also here you can see that in every segment we increased our numbers. Design and build increased from 92.3-96.9. Operation by 6.7% up to 269 million. Also the component sale increased by another 5%. Here we're showing a top line of 102.3 million. When it comes to the second segment, the IMS segment, Here was the strategy to push this segment and also the acquisition of the transportation business gave us here a really significant push. What you can see in our top line, more than 100% increase of revenues. Now we, at the end of this fiscal year, we have here a top line of 180 million and show a slightly negative EBIT and a slightly negative EBIT margin. We are more than confident that we will bring and improve the EBIT margin in the next on even a short-term run. How is here the geographical split? Here you see that the IMS, here is America, a very strong part. It's in comparison to the ETC, the share is 40%. We are still strong in EMEA, 56%, and we're not so strong in the Asian region and Oceania. Coming also here in this segment to the point to split our revenues, what do we in design and build, in operation and components, then you will see on this page that we have a really good increase in design and build and operations, which is important for our long-lasting business, and we had a slight decrease in our components. On page 16, that's for you to as information that you get the impact of the acquisition of Kapsch Traffic-Com Transportation, what happens with numbers. That's for fiscal year 2017, we will show this split, and in the next quarter, we will inform you then it's fully integrated and it's fully part of the big Kapsch Traffic-Com family. That was the short overview about our important financial development in this fiscal year. Now I would like to hand back to Mr. Kapsch for the outlook.
Thank you very much, Ulrike. I'll give you a brief outlook. What of course we intend to do is to continue our growth in order to increase our global market share, both in electronic toll collection as well as in the intelligent mobility solutions. As far as ETC is concerned, the strongest potentials are to be found in the United States, because the United States is the biggest tolling market in the world. As I said previously, we managed to become one of the three really strong players in the United States within a period of 7 years, which I think is a huge success being a non-American company. Meanwhile, we are very much recognized as an American enterprise in the United States. Secondly, we hope to be able to use a greater momentum in Asia because we are currently not that strong in Asia. That's because of the used technology, because this is currently a, let's say, not a very advanced technology, and ours is a very advanced technology. Furthermore, the market is very much, it's very tightly structured by small enterprises offering at very low prices. Anyway, the market seems to change, and this is an opportunity for us. In the European, Middle East, and Africa region, we will target nationwide toll collection systems like Poland, the Czech Republic, and Bulgaria. In Poland and the Czech Republic, it's about winning existing contracts again. In Poland, it's about winning. It's a first-time win. There does not exist any tolling system at all for the time being. Furthermore, to our intelligent mobility solutions segment, which should have the bigger growth potentials than the ETC, even if the margins are lower compared to the ETC segment. is our acquired Schneider Transportation unit was integrated very properly. We have a very strong focus on sales on the one hand side and on integrating the product line on the other hand. Furthermore, we have the greatest attention to the CHARM project, which is a traffic management project, and it's the biggest traffic management project ever seen in Europe. We won this 1.5 years ago, I think, approximately.
Yeah, approximately two.
Or 2 years ago, and this is a joint project between Rijkswaterstaat from the Netherlands and Highways of England from the U.K. As far as the organization is concerned, we restructured ourselves in a kind of matrix organizations where we built up regions, which is mostly about sales. On the other hand, we have solution centers who are providing the products for the regions. Well, I think in terms of profitability, there will be no great leaps in terms of EBIT. We will be able to more or less stabilize the EBIT. What we try to do is to, on a midterm basis, to increase the EBIT, especially in the IMS segment, so that we will reach a total EBIT of approximately 10%. Undoubtedly, there will be some price effects from the projects in the Czech Republic and in Austria because the prices are much lower than they were 10 years ago when we won these projects first. That's what I would like to address in particular. There are legal expenses from an IP litigation in the U.S. with one of our competitors who filed a complaint against us. Till up to now, already invested approximately €15 million in legal fees. So this is about an IP issue where we think that we are not violating the IPs, and the IPs are not valid because there exists prior artists. We'll see what the outcome of this dispute will be all about. As far as the legal fees are concerned, last year it was about €12 million in legal fees, but this will not happen this year for sure. I'd guess that the utmost we could think about is another €2 million in legal fees. Well, the balance sheet is still strong, and we think it will get even stronger, but this was already explained by Ulrike. We target, of course, an increase in revenues in both segments. Yeah. But I think that's more or less what I wanted to talk about and present to you. Thank you very much. I think it's now up to raise questions.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Daniel Lion with Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi again.
Hi again.
I would have actually two main questions. Now, first would be on the on-unit sales. They have increased actually really strongly now at 11.7 million for the year. do you see this trend to continue, and how does the pricing develop? Maybe you could give us here some background information, and maybe also where did the additional demand comes from. And the second would be on the Q3 investment. Now the share price is finally looking to have bottomed out. Has your strategic approach to simply hold it strategically in order to prevent some big players to enter the market, is this still the case, or what do you think, or are there any plans to get rid of the investment? Yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, first I'll answer your question regarding Q3. So the sale, the share price is not yet at a level we would be interested in selling it. So this wouldn't make any sense. Even if it has leveled off, the company is not yet back to real profitability, which could foster a stronger increase in the share price. So let's see what impact the Slovenian project will have. The problem with Q3 is that they are very depending upon a very small number of projects, and they are depending upon their onboard unit sales. So, which brings me to your second question, or to your first question, the onboard unit sales. We had an all-time high both in the in North America as well as in the other countries around the world. So the onboard unit sales are always a bit volatile, but sometimes they are a bit higher, sometimes they are a bit lower, but the general trend is upwards. Regarding the pricing, we had to offer a lower price reduction to the EasyPass group in order to secure exclusivity for another 2 years. And that worked. So this has an impact on the margin, but anyway, we are redeveloping the tags to make them cheaper. Secondly, the general pricing trend of onboard units is obviously going down. We are able to keep the contribution margin in terms of percentage, but obviously not in absolute terms. So we are permanently reducing the costs of our tags, which makes them obviously cheaper, and therefore we can keep the relative margin.
Okay, can I just ask you on the price reduction? When I remember correctly, the previous price was $8.90 per onboard unit. What would be the new price?
I'm not permitted to officialize this price.
Okay, but
it's lower.
Still lower, but still profitable.
Yes, certainly. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done the deal.
Yeah. Okay. And that's a prolongation for 2 years.
Yes.
For exclusivity, I guess.
Yes, for exclusivity.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Thank you, Mr. Leon.
The next question comes from the line of Sans de Capestone, Leah, with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. First question is about the revenue contribution for toll tickets for this year, and if you can precise us, what do you expect from the acquisition in the next few years? What synergy do you expect? The second question is if you can give us some indication about the business pipeline in IMS. I know that you cannot give us some precise project, but did you see a business acceleration since that you were awarded the CHAM project, or maybe since the acquisition of Kijiji? And the last question is about the recent merger between Atlantia and Abertis. What do you think it can be a threat for you in Europe? Thank you.
Okay, so in regards to toll tickets, our goal is to increase the proportion of services in our portfolio, and this is the first step is toll services, which will provide with toll tickets both to lorries as well as to personal vehicles, and this is a very much growing market, and we want to be one of the core players in this market in Europe. Last year, we did about roughly 19 million euros in revenues, but in the future, you, and maybe Ulrike can explain that better than me, you will not see these revenues because these are tolling revenues, and what we try to do is not to show the toll revenues but just the margin in our revenues, because otherwise it would, the revenues would explode and the relative EBIT margin would decrease dramatically. And this would mislead everybody in the market. So that's about toll tickets. The dynamics in the IMS business, of course, there are lots of projects we are currently targeting, but of course they are not as big as the Charm project, because the Charm project is a 60 million project. Normally, IMS projects are in between 5 and 15 million in revenues, but they are pretty much profitable. So this is traffic management, but there are other projects in the IMS segment, which is well, we call it eco-traffics. These projects are more or less umbrella systems for urban environments which help the better control of the traffic within an urban area. So we think there is huge dynamics in the future because traffic jams and environmental pollution are core issues, and parking and on-street parking are core issues for mega, not just for mega cities, but also for medium-sized cities. So we think there is a huge dynamic in the future. The advantage of ETC systems, of course, are that they immediately bring money to the operators, and IMS systems, of course, increase security and reduce environmental impact and increase convenience for the drivers, but they do not bring any money to the municipality but cost money. So anyway, this is a bit, it's not as easy as electronic toll collection, but anyway, if it comes to autonomous driving, you will anyway need all these systems because cars have to communicate, cars have to get information from traffic signs, and that's where we are engaging ourselves. Regarding your third question, Atlantia and Abertis, I think this is not a threat for us. This could even be an opportunity for us, but we do not yet know. This is a mega deal, but I do not think that this has a huge impact on our business, at least not a negative impact, because Abertis does not provide any technology, and Atlantia provides technology, but provides technology primarily according to the Italian standards, which is not applicable anywhere else in the world. And I doubt that they will start to develop products that are in accordance with the standards in the rest of the world.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Just a precision about the tolling, the toll tickets revenue. Is there any contribution on this year revenues? Oh, no.
Last year's revenues, yes.
Maybe I give you some technical background in respect of the toll ticket revenues. Here we separate and we dig into the IFRS rules and separate between if it's toll ticket acting as a principal or an agent. In case toll ticket is acting as an agent, so they pass through only the toll income and take no risk, we will not show the net sales, and we will not show the cost of goods sold. We will do a netting. That has the impact in our quarter four, where you don't see the toll ticket revenues, not as such in our top line, and have a significant impact when you look at our cost of goods, purchased services, we call it, purchased services. When you just look at our quarter four, which is there, a steep reduction in comparison to the previous quarter. We really net the cost and the revenue, and we show only the margin in our numbers, which brings us in a position that the increase of toll ticket revenues will not jeopardize our contribution margin level as such. In that way, that it could be when this company will increase the top line to more than 25, 30, or 50 million. Does this help, Leah?
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you so much.
Just look at quarter four and quarter three, and here we definitely have a shift in how we show the toll tickets, and happy to discuss this with you and give you some insight on that.
Okay, I will look at it. Okay, thanks. Thank you so much, Ulrike.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from the line of Bastien Guillot with Piat. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my question. First one is about the Poland project. You are currently re-tendering this project. Can you give us a bit of a timing for the when will you announce maybe the re-tendering, if it happens?
Well, sorry, I didn't get what you said. There is so much noise in the back.
Sorry.
Could you repeat, please?
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking about the Poland project that you are re-tendering this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the question?
Yeah. Can you give us a bit of a timing? When do you think the tendering will be done? Because it's, let's say, a fair share of your sales, and if you don't, let's say, have it, would you be able to compensate the loss of revenue?
Okay. We are currently in the pre-qualification phase.
Mm-hmm.
There are some claims, so this would lead to a postponement of the tender process, which is, of course, in favor of us. Because if the process starts later, maybe even this system will be extended for one or the other year. That's what we do not know. Regarding your question, whether we are able to compensate if we will not win the project, of course, we will not be able to compensate this loss immediately. On a long-term basis, yes, but not immediately, because this would have a huge impact anyway.
Okay. How much does it represent in your sales for last year? Just to have a, let's say, quantification.
Approximately 10% in revenues.
Sorry, how much?
10% of total revenue.
10%. Okay, 10% of the revenue. Okay, thank you. My second question about M&A. You're still considering, let's say, targets. what would be your focus? Do you want to consolidate in the United States since you are now number three? Or would you consider maybe new or existing geography like Asia? What's your view on that?
Well, currently we are not thinking about further consolidation in the United States. I think there is no target on the market, and we should grow organically in the United States. In the Asian region, there is also no target on the market because this is a very fragmented market. It differs from country to country. There are lots of small enterprises, and it's not easy to acquire a small enterprise in one of these countries, and because these are enterprises in between 10 and 15 or 20 million euros in revenues, and to manage these companies locally. So if there is no target, and we did not, we evaluated it, but we couldn't find any. If there is no target, we need to grow organically in the in Asia. And what we would like to target in terms of acquisition targets is intelligent mobility solutions and automotive.
Okay, understood.
And what we intend to do is to bridge the automotive industry to the urban environment, because the OEMs need data, especially when it comes to autonomous or assisted driving. Let's say assisted driving, because automotive autonomous driving is years out. Real autonomous driving, and they need data from the urban environment, and therefore we are targeting mobility solutions. Let's say for getting data from traffic lights, etc.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Christian Bader with RCB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three totally different questions. First of all, regarding your intelligent mobility solution segment, the profitability during the quarters of the last year has been extremely volatile. It has been worsening in the first three quarters and then all of a sudden very positive in the final quarter. So can you please give us an explanation for that? My second question refers to the legal expenses that you incurred for this dispute with a competitor. Can you maybe provide a bit more background information? What's it all about and why are you so confident that you will only need to spend another 2 million euros in the next fiscal year? And my third question regards to the upcoming or ongoing toll collection tender in Bulgaria. I'm wondering, do you already know and are able to share with us which kind of technology the Bulgarian government is favoring? And secondly, is the structure of this potential contract similar to Belarus, so requiring a lot of pre-funding from your side?
Okay. To the IMS, the volatility, this is, frankly speaking, due to the fact that in the last quarter we released provisions. We didn't need any more. So that's why there was a lot of volatility in the IMS segment.
Okay.
Secondly, the legal expenses, this is an agreement with our lawyers. And from our perspective, everything is on the table and the judges have to decide. So that makes me confident that we do not have to spend an amount exceeding 2 million. Third question, tender in Bulgaria. The tender process in Bulgaria is a never-ending story, and there were already filed claims again, and we do not know when the tender process will go forward. There was no favored technology, but well, we think that this will be that this will be a GNSS approach, which means a satellite approach, and
okay.
That's what we offered.
And do you also think that it will be similar structured in terms of financing like the Belarusian project, so that you install everything and the customer pays afterwards when he collects the tolls?
So I hand over to Ulrike.
That's a similar. It's not like Belarus, because Belarus was an investment agreement and slightly different, but it's also included a certain long payment structure.
All right, okay. Good, great, many thanks.
Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from the line of Daniel Lyon with Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Hello. Could you be a little bit more precise on the provisions that you released in the IMS segment? How much would this be?
We had here similar, a lot of smaller projects where we did some releases, and we had an improvement also about, I would say, 4 million.
4 million. So it was anyway, it was, okay, 4 million, yeah. Okay, and then one more question related to Streetline. Would you have any kind of visibility on the product becoming break even by when, or would you still expect the same cost burden as in the last fiscal year in 2017-18?
Well, you see, we think this product is very, very advanced. What we need is the consent of the municipalities, and that's the problem. So what we need to gain is 10, 15 big cities. Then we can deal with the data. And that's the core issue. So we will very carefully observe the situation, and we are still convinced that this product is from a technical perspective very advanced, but we were not able till up to now to generate a sufficient customer base. So we will anyway reduce the cost base. If it doesn't turn out within the next 6 months, that this will really get a huge impetus on the market.
Okay. Have you been successful in gaining new customers so far?
Yes.
After the initial?
Yes, we have. There are some cities in the United States. We received the customers. On the other hand, we are currently targeting customers in Europe and in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. What's the main reason the clients turn you down? Is it just because of financing is not in place, or I don't know, or is it also, does it relate to the application itself?
I can't tell you. You know, municipalities, like most of the political spheres, are not always very easy to understand. even if there is an advantage for them, they are often afraid that the voters would not appreciate such a system.
Okay. Good. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Mr. Lang for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you all for joining today's call. We hope it was informative and looking forward to talking to you on the 30th of August when we present our Q1 numbers. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.